Well, we're going to pray and just open our heart to the word of the Lord and do that with me. Let's not take that for granted. Father, we just ask you, Lord, that you'd speak to us today. And Lord, we very intentionally, Lord, we just open our heart to your word. Lord, not to the words of man, but to the living word of God. I pray, Father, that your word would have free course in our life to accomplish what you have sent it to do. And Lord, that you would be glorified in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week I shared a message with you about turning your battle. You know, many times our battle is turned even as we praise the Lord. But praise is not just for the battles. Neither is it just for the mountaintops. No, praise is something that we as the people of God are supposed to do every day. We're living in a time when the Bible said this time would come that people would heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. They're always wanting some new doctrine, some new strange thing. Listen, please don't take this wrong, okay? But I'm just saying, there's so much out there, you know, they got a new twist on things. And they take one phrase from the scripture and they got this big, huge teaching and doctrine on some remote phrase that they pulled out of context. And I'm just saying this, that we need to focus, we need to major on the things that the scripture majors on. The things that you see in the Bible, not just one time or, you know, one little phrase here, but over and over and over, you see this in the scripture. Praise is a major theme of the Bible. It is not some little hidden phrase somewhere, but it is something that you find all through the scriptures. We need to make it a major part of our lives. There's no way that I could share with you even 1% of the scriptures that speak of praise this morning. It would take too long. But we are going to touch on a few. And here's a great one to start with. It's Psalms 150. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with a lute and harp. Praise Him with a timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's not the way they did it in the church where I grew up. But that's what the scripture tells us, that this is the way it's supposed to be. Most of us today, we like to think that we don't cling to religious tradition, but so many do. They want to be quiet and reserved when they come to church. But I'm telling you, according to the scripture, it's supposed to be loud. We're supposed to be praising Him with all our hearts. It is a part of who we are as the people of God. Now, it tells us that we're to praise Him for the things that He's done, and we're to praise Him for His greatness, for who He is. We're not just praising Him because we feel like it or because we like the song. We're praising Him because of the things He's done, and we're praising Him because He's so great. He's so awesome. And it says this, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you've still got breath, you're supposed to praise the Lord. When your breath is all gone, you know what that means, right? Then, well, you won't be praising Him here anymore. Hopefully, you'll be praising Him there. But everything that has breath, that's every one of us, praise the Lord. Now, this is really important. We need to always remember this, that praise has to start in the heart. Jesus said in Mark 7 and 6 that the people of that time honored Him with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. We don't just go through the motions. It's not just some religious ritual that we do. No, we praise Him because He's worthy of our praise. But It has to start in the heart. It has to be something that we really want to give Him the praise. We're not just going through the motions. And you need to separate between what you want and what you feel. Because I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter how we feel. We want to praise Him because He's worthy. So just because, you know, well, I don't feel it, so that's not from my heart. Oh, yeah, you need to get over that. See, you might be having a hard day, but you still want to praise Him because He's worthy of your praise. He deserves it, and He's been good to you. Amen. So it starts in our heart, but we need to always remember this, that it doesn't end there. See, we're not just praising God in a moment of silence. No. Praise means to commend, to applaud, to express approval, admiration of, extol with words or in song, to magnify and glorify. All of the words that describe praise all have to do with some kind of action. It has to do with the words coming out of your mouth. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is full of praise for God, it will come out of your mouth. If that's not what's coming out of our mouth, maybe we need to change what's in our heart, because praise needs to start in the heart. But I'm telling you, if it's in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. You know, the Lord has always wanted a people that would praise Him. It's always been His intention and His purpose. In Isaiah 43 and 21, He said, "This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise." See, He's always wanted a people that would declare His praise throughout the earth. But it's even more true of the New Testament church. Here's a prophecy of the church in Psalm 102 and verse 18. "This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." I'm telling you, we are that generation yet to come. God has created for Himself a people to praise the Lord. For all eternity, we're going to be praising the Lord, because He has gathered from every tribe, nation, and tongue for Himself a people to praise Him. Here it is in the New Testament, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. He says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." We are His own special people. "That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Oh, has He saved you? Have you been delivered? Have you been brought out of that old darkness into the marvelous light? I'm telling you, He's called you to praise Him who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, once we weren't a people, but God has brought together a people to show forth His praise. The one who brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is what we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to be praising Him. We're going to be doing it for a long time. And for some people, it's going to be their first time. I actually believe that. I think there's some people, they're saved, they're going to make it to heaven, but they don't even know the joy of what it is to really enter into praise and to really worship God that way. Oh, I'm telling you, they're going to know then, but why not know now? It is so much for us. It's so much a part of the life that God has for us. We should be living a life of praise every day. You know, when we gather as a church, it is a special thing that we come together as the people of God to praise Him. We come to celebrate Him. The Bible tells us this in Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. See, this is how we gather in His name. We enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We enter His courts with praise. We don't come with a sad face, a long face. No, we come ready to praise the Lord and give Him thanks. You say, well, what if I'm going through a hard time? I know exactly what you're talking about. I've had a hard time before. Can you believe that? When you're going through a hard time, you know what you do? You enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. That's how we come together and we enter into the presence of God. Come with joy, with singing, with celebration. I'm not preaching this to the lost. I mean, if you're lost here this morning, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're in the right place. But I'm saying this to the saints right now. We come with joy and celebration to glorify the One who's delivered us out of darkness, translated us out of the dominion of darkness into His kingdom, into His marvelous light. Psalm 95, 1 and 2 says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving. Let us extol Him with music and song. This is what the Bible says. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Oh, church, we need to be excited to come, just to come and praise the Lord. We come and we praise Him because He's worthy. And I want to separate this out. Yes, God blesses us, and yes, when we praise Him many times, that's when our battle is turned. And you know, in the presence of God, it's such an awesome thing to feel Him and sense Him in that way. But I want you to remember this: we don't praise Him just so we can get that. We praise Him because He's worthy. We're not trying to manipulate God. We're not just trying to get something for us, because praise is for Him. And we want to bless Him. We want to praise Him for all He's already done and for who He is. We praise Him. But praise is not something that we only do when we come to church. It should be a lifestyle. It should be a way of life for us every day. Psalm 34 and 1, David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This great man of God, this mighty warrior, this man after God's own heart, this great psalmist, listen, he said, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, if you've ever read the Bible, you know that David had a lot of great victories. He also had a lot of tragedies and a lot of heartache in his life. But he learned to say this, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's a good confession for every believer. Is to make up your mind and say with your mouth, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to keep saying it until you start saying it with me. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now see, if we're going to do that, we can't be complaining, we can't be griping, we can't be speaking words of doubt and unbelief all the time. I'm in a bad mood and I'm going to let everybody know it. I'm in a bad mood and I'm going to let everybody know it. How about His praise shall continually be in my mouth? I'm telling you, it's so much better. Well, people might think I'm weird if I go around praising the Lord. Well, it's a whole lot better than them thinking you're an old grump. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, whatever I'm going through, whatever my battle, I'm going to keep praising the Lord in the midst of it. Amen. His praise continually be in my mouth. It's something that we're supposed to continually do. Easier to say than to do. So what does it take to steal your joy? What's it take to steal your song? What's it take to steal your praise? It's not your praise. It belongs to God. But so often we allow the circumstances of life, we allow other people to steal our joy, our song, our praise. And I'm telling you, He is worthy of it. He deserves it. It has to be a way of life for us. Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its going down. The Lord's name is to be praised." That means from the time that you get up in the morning until you go to bed at night, you're supposed to be praising the Lord. The name of the Lord is to be praised. This is the way to start your day. Praise the Lord. This is the way to end your day. You look back over the day and you say, "Praise the Lord." See, when you get up in the morning, if you can't praise the Lord, you got out of the wrong side of the bed. Just get back in and start over. But decide that you're going to praise the Lord from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You say, "I don't know if I like this stuff." I'm telling you, this needs to be preached. People need to hear this. This is what the Bible says. Not one little remote place, but over and over and over. Praise Him. Praise Him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. That His name is to be praised. How is it that we just think, "Well, you know, I don't know if I like that"? Come on, church. This is the people of God. This is who we are. That we praise Him. We bring glory and honor to Him. Oh, we want to talk about sports. We want to talk about politics. Puke. We want to talk about this problem and that problem, the economy. We want to talk about all the immorality. We want to talk about Hollywood. We want to talk about the weather. How about we just start praising the Lord and bring God into some things? He's worthy. He deserves our praise. And it's supposed to be a way of life for us that we do this all the time. You know, if we're going to do that, we need a different mindset. Here's a good way to start your day. Psalm 118, verse 24. "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Some of you remember that old song? It was a good one. This is the day the Lord has made. You start your day, you're not looking at all the things that can go wrong today and all the evil and all the yuck. No. You're thinking about this, that God has given you another day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Great way to start your day, to have that attitude. I'm going to praise the Lord today. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, Jesus paid for our sins totally and completely. We do not bring sacrifices to pay for our sins. They're already paid in full. But the New Testament does tell us about a sacrifice that we're to bring. Hebrews 13, 15. "Therefore, by Him," by Jesus, "let us continually," there it is again, continually, not once in a while when I get in the mood, maybe if I'm at church, continually, this is lifestyle. "Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God." And then he tells us exactly what he's talking about. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. It is the fruit of our lips. It is what's coming out of our mouth. This is how we offer to God the sacrifice of praise. I don't like it when people act like that sacrifice means it's something I don't want to give, but I'll do it anyway. That's not what a sacrifice is. If you read the Old Testament, a sacrifice was something they brought and they offered to God. And so is our praise, that we bring our praise and we offer it to God as a sacrifice of praise. We're not bringing Him some animal. No, we're bringing Him our praise. A sacrifice of praise continually. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. You know, there's always something that you can thank God for. There's always something you can complain about. You got to decide, which one are you going to do? Which one are you going to do today? Which one are you going to do in this situation? There's always something to complain about. Always, always, always. Chuck Swindoll said, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% what you do with it. But I can assure you this, all of us have things to be thankful for. And those of us who are the most blessed can find a way to complain. One older gentleman was working on his roof one day, and the neighbor heard him shouting, "Praise to God." The neighbor ran out to see what was going on. He said, "Why are you praising God?" He said, "Well, I dropped my hammer and I swallowed a nail." He said, "Well, why would you praise God for that?" He said, "Well, I'm just glad that I didn't swallow my hammer and drop the nail." I'm just telling you, there's always something you can thank God for. One preacher was known for always having a prayer of thanks. He would always thank God when he started his prayer. And one morning, it was just bitter cold, and everybody wondered, what's he going to thank God for today? And he began his prayer. He says, "But thank thee, Lord, that it is not always like this." I'm just telling you, there's always something you can thank the Lord for. It is a matter of the attitude of the heart, and this needs to be our attitude, our mindset. His praise should continually be in my mouth, as He's worthy. He deserves it all the time. Not just when we feel like it. We're living in the day of the feel-good theology. People bring that attitude of the culture we live in, you know. You are what you feel. That is a lie. That is an absolute deception. And it will bind you up. It'll destroy your life. If it feels good, do it. The implication is that if it feels right, it must be right. What a deception. What a lie. And that same attitude is brought into church, this feel-good theology. Well, you know, if I feel like it, I do it. Where is that in the Bible? You won't find it. It is a lie. It is a deception. It is the philosophy of the generation that we live in, and it binds people up and destroys them. This is what the Bible teaches. Here's the truth that sets free, is that we praise Him no matter what the situation, what we're going through. He is worthy of our praise. We're not praising Him because, ooh, I like that song. I feel the rhythm, I feel the beat, the groove in that song. I like that. I can get into that. It ain't about music. It's not about how you feel. It's about Him and how good He is. And He deserves our praise. It's not about us. See, that's another thing of this generation. Listen, I know the world's this way. Let's don't bring it in the church. It's not about us. We used to sing this song, "It's All About You," but I think people were really singing, "It's All About Me." No, praise is all about Him. And He deserves it. not just when we feel like it. But you know, it's amazing when we praise the Lord, when we really enter into praise and lift Him up, it's amazing how we start to feel different. Even when we're down, even when we're going through a hard time, we start to feel different. Psalm 42, verse 11. This is found several times, but here's one of the examples. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? I want to tell you that the psalmist certainly knew the answer. It is a rhetorical question. He says, hope in God. He's talking to himself. Why are you down, soul? Why are you down? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. You see, we're serving an almighty God. And when we're going through a hard time and things aren't going our way, it's easy for us to get to that place where we're just kind of down, disquieted, upset. You need to talk to yourself sometime and say, hope in God. Hope is not a wish. Hope is an expectancy of things to come. That's biblical hope. Don't confuse hope with a wish. I hope it rains. I wish it would rain. No, that's not the kind of hope we're talking about. We're talking about that expectancy of something that's coming. Hope in God. He will not let you down. Soul, you're talking to yourself and you say, hope in God. See, you need to change your perspective. Don't just look at things in the natural, but realize that you are serving an almighty God who can do anything. I don't have to be downcast. I don't have to be disquieted inside because I can put my hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. I hope you know that as a pastor, I in no way am belittling anybody's heartache. In no way am I saying that your struggle or your battle is not real. But rather, I'm telling you how you can break free, how you can get out of that darkness. There's a way for you to get victory in your life. And I'm telling you, the enemy wants you to be so down. He wants to keep you under. Oh, but if you'll praise the Lord, God will make a way for you. We don't just praise the Lord when we get the victory. We praise the Lord in the midst of the trial. Well, come on up here, sweetheart. Most of you know about our battles and struggles, some of them, and how this has been something that is health issues and dealing with cancer has been something that we've dealt with for many years. But this past year, last year, was such a trial and such a test. And we go to the doctor and I remember one doctor, he says, this is not something that you can be nonchalant about. He took our faith as being nonchalant. He just couldn't understand that we wouldn't act all upset about it. Now, I want you to know, we had our down days, we had our tears, and we had our struggles, but we refused to just stay down and stay under that. Instead, we praised the Lord through the whole time, praised Him as our healer, and never gave up on our God. We hoped in our God. There were those times when our soul was disquieted, downcast, but we said, hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him. You know what that means? That means I'm going to praise Him anyway. Thank you, beautiful. I really just brought her up because she makes me look good. say, how did a guy like that get a woman like that? See, I know what I'm doing. Y'all need to listen to me. So I tell her, I always tell her I'm smarter than her. Look what I got, look what you got. Okay. I shall yet praise him, and here it comes, who is the help of my countenance. What's your countenance like? Sometimes our countenance needs a little help. A countenance is that, well, it's that attitude that shows on your face. It is our demeanor. It's the way we carry ourselves, and to some degree, even the way we conduct ourselves. But he is the help of my countenance. I will yet praise him, for he is the help of my countenance. I'm telling you, if you'll praise the Lord, it'll help your countenance. It'll change your scowl. Amen. If you'll just start praising the Lord, it'll help you get out of the dumps. It'll change how you feel, because it changes your perspective and how you see things, how you see your problems. Your problems start shrinking as your God gets bigger in your eyes. You magnify the Lord. I'm telling you, it changes how you see things, and it changes your countenance. When Jesus began his ministry, he stood up and he read from Isaiah 61, and some of that is recorded in the book of Luke. I want to read that prophecy of the Lord Jesus from Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." This is part of why he came. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to heal the sick. He came to set the captives free. He came to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. See, the one who saved us, healed our hearts, the one who set us free, he also gives us the oil of joy for mourning. He gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Jesus, our Savior, he provided this for us, a garment of praise. You don't have to wear that old spirit of heaviness anymore. Jesus has provided the garment of praise. Just as much as he saved your soul, he's provided a garment of praise for you. Have you put that on? You know, before we start our day, we decide what we're going to wear and what we're going to do that day has a lot to do with what we decide to wear. I mean, if you're going to go straight to the gym, you're going to put some gym clothes on. And if you're going to go, it's Saturday and you're going to work in the yard, well, you're going to put some work clothes on. And maybe this morning you said, hey, I'm going to church, I'm going to wear this. And what we're going to do, we decide what we're going to wear. At least I didn't see anybody wearing their gym clothes this morning. I'm just saying. But you decide what you're going to. We need to decide. We're going to wear the garment of praise. You know why? Because what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be praising the Lord. His praise shall continually be on my lips. We just need to decide before we even start our day. Today I'm wearing that garment. I'm not going to wear that old ugly thing I've been wearing. I'm going to wear something nice today. I'm going to wear the garment of praise because I'm going to be praising the Lord. You know, sometime a loved one, a spouse if they're brave enough, or a really good friend will tell you you need to throw those old clothes away. That's so out of style. Well, you don't know, they may come back. Listen, your hippie clothes are not coming back. And I want to tell you, if they do, nobody wants to see you wear them. You see, because if they really love you, not only will they tell you, hey, maybe one time that looked good, but those days are long gone. You need to bury that. They will also tell you sometimes, you know what? That doesn't fit anymore. You've outgrown that. Are you hearing me? You are a child of God. You are one of His own special people. You've been called to show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And you don't need to be wearing that old junk anymore. You don't need to be wearing that attitude of griping and complaining. It doesn't suit you. It doesn't fit you anymore. You've outgrown that. You need to decide, I'm going to wear the garment of praise. I'm not going to allow that old bitterness and resentment to be on me anymore. Some people, they're so full of anger and malice, they can't even tell they're a Christian. It don't look good on you. Take that off and put on the garment of praise. I caught myself yesterday driving down the freeway, and somebody, see, I almost said it again. I just, Lord, somebody cut me off. You idiot. And then I caught myself and I said, Lord, I praise you that you keep me safe. And I'm just telling you, you got a choice. You can either allow that old yuck on you, or you can get it off you and decide you're going to wear the garment of praise every day. We start bragging. We start boasting about what we've done, what we can do. You need to take that off. That's not who you are anymore. You say, I am what I am by the grace of God. You give God all the glory. You praise Him for every good thing in your life. That's who you are. Put on that garment. That old junk doesn't fit you anymore. Quit trying to wear that stuff. You know, the best way to plan your day is to do it the day before, at least by the day before. And the best way to plan what you're going to wear is to do it the day before. And I just want to challenge you that before Monday morning starts, you know, Sunday morning in church is one thing. Monday morning is another. Before Monday morning gets here, you decide the night before you go to bed, in the morning, I'm going to be wearing that garment of praise. I've already made up my mind. I'm going to be praising the Lord tomorrow. I'm not going to let that old stuff get on me again, but I'm going to be praising the Lord. You know, we all go through low places, hard times. We all go through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes. We all feel mistreated at times. We all feel forgotten sometimes, and maybe even abandoned. Praise Him anyway. Paul and Silas preached the gospel in one city. There was a demon-possessed girl, a servant girl, who followed them around, and Paul finally cast that demon out of her, and it made her owners mad because they had used her to profit. And they took Paul and Silas to the magistrates, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothes, beaten with rods, and then put in the inner prison, in the dungeon, with their feet shackled. Not a good day. at the hands of angry sinners. And yet somehow, there's no evidence that they retaliated, that they were angry. They didn't try to call down fire on those people. So many angry Christians today. Jesus said, when they mistreat you, when they persecute you, he said, rejoice in that day. He said, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I don't see many Christians today rejoicing when they're persecuted. They're letting the enemy steal their joy and steal their praise. But Paul and Silas didn't do that. They didn't question God. There's no indication that they were mad at God or angry with God. We'll pick the story up in Acts 16, 25. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. The King James said, singing praise to God. They're praying and praising God, and the other prisoners are listening to them. I want to tell you, people are watching you. They are listening to you. And when you go through a hard time, when you've been mistreated, see, when you get unjustly fired from your job, people are watching, people are listening to see if you're real. Because that's when you can really tell. I believe it had an impact on those prisoners. I believe it changed them when they saw what happened. Verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Now, this is amazing. It says a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. Everyone could have died. Nobody did. Nobody was injured. The Lord knows what He's doing. He does all things well. But all the doors were opened and all of their chains were loosed. And I want you to understand that it was wicked men that stripped them and beat them and put them in prison. Do not blame God for the bad things that happen. God didn't beat them. God didn't have them put in prison. Wicked men did that. And wicked men do a lot of things in this world that people, religious people, are the worst, want to blame God. But I'll tell you what God did. God made a way out. Not only that, He turned their battle into a blessing, into a victory. And as we read this story, you see how that God had a purpose that through all of this, I want to say it again, God didn't do it, but God took what happened and He turned it. He used it for His purpose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. He was going to kill himself because he knew that if the prisoners had escaped, he would suffer a fate worse than death. That he and his family would probably be tortured. And so he draws his own sword to kill himself. Verse 28, but Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, we are all here. Do y'all get this? This is crazy. I mean, the Lord just made all the doors pop open, and the chains fell off, and here we stand. Why? They could have been out the door. But there was something that Paul and Silas cared about more than getting out the door. And God didn't send an earthquake just to get them out the door. Do yourself no harm. We are all here. Verse 29, then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out, saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Wow. God took this situation and turned it into an opportunity for people to be saved. You want to see the power of God? You want to see people come and ask how they can be saved? Praise the Lord when you are in the bottom of the dungeon. I'm telling you, God will bring Himself glory and honor, but He'll bring you out. And He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, their wounds. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Wow. You're talking about a whole household that just got saved. And he rejoiced. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officer, saying, "Let those men go." So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." You see, if they would have left, that man and probably his family would have died. But they didn't leave until the magistrates released them. I want you to know that God can deal with the powers that be. God can change the heart. He can turn the heart. And we need to always believe and trust the Lord that He is a sovereign God, a mighty God. And whatever the situation, it's not too much for Him. But how did this all start? Two men that just prayed and sang praises to God in the midst of a very bad situation. So when your day is not going right, maybe you're facing a tragedy, maybe you're dealing with true hardship, praise Him. Praise Him anyway. He's worthy. He deserves it. No matter how you feel, you praise Him. Don't let setbacks steal your song. Don't let some health condition steal your joy. Don't let a breakup with your boyfriend keep you from your relationship with God or praising God. I'm telling you, just keep going. Just keep praising Him. I want you to stand with me. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. We're going to pray together. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You love us so much, that You have called us to this wonderful life. Lord, help us learn to praise You every day. Help us learn to make it a lifestyle that we can truly say with David, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Oh, Father, I pray especially for those that are struggling right now, that are in a great battle. Lord, those that are going through some heartache, a depression, Lord, an oppression, whatever it might be. Father, I pray for them that today would be their deliverance, that today would be their turning point, Lord, even as they praise You. I pray, Father, that not one person walks out of this building still wearing that old garment of heaviness. Father, that's my prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.